Tampa Bay. Have fun there. You got to win on the road eventually. Eventually, you got to win on the road.
Hopefully, that's their next step going into next year.
What the hell happened with Boston? They were supposed to be falling apart. I went and looked at the standings last night. They're on a roll. How are they doing this? They've lost like half their team.
Yeah, I don't know. If guys are coming back. I know Marshawn's back.
Punching
for now
goalies and trying to assault fans. The Wings were like 14 points behind Boston.
Jeez.
I didn't realize it because there was like seven. And then
the Wings haven't been on a crazy slide or anything.
No. That's what I was saying. I'm like, what the hell got into the Bruins, man? NFL Combine weekend in Indy. You'll see a lot. Dan Campbell was all over the news yesterday for that. We're going to cut it loose.
Do you like watching it?
Yeah, I
like watching some of it. Some of the players. I don't need to watch some of the positions, though.
You may not know this, but Tom Brady was a sixth-round draft pick at the NFL Combine in his picture.
How many times do they show he has photo? Gosh, every year.
He's got to hate that.
Yeah, like, come on, guys.
Could you just find the worst possible picture of me? Excuse me real quick.
I did a few things since then. Could you maybe throw up a few of those photos?
Why am I eating a peanut butter Cliff bar before I go on the air?
I don't know. You always do that.
It's not my best move. It's dumb. Yeah, it's dumb. I know. I'll put a slider over there so I'm not choking on the air. Yeah, so the Lions have, what, two first-round picks this year?
Yes. Yep.
Yes, yes. Yes, they do.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Some people are talking about trying to trade that second-round pick, the second first-round pick, to Atlanta for Ridley.
No.
He's hurt all the time, right?
No.
I've seen that floating around.
I'm not an NFL draft expert, but I did stay at Holiday Inn. And because we're Lions fans, the one thing we are good at is analyzing the draft because that's all we've got.
Yes.
We need bodies.
Right.
We need peoples. We need peoples with that same attitude. He knows who he wants. Right? I mean, when you're watching Dan Campbell, you can tell he's like...
At least the type of guy he wants. And he'll find him.
I want someone. He'll cut him loose.
It's good, man.
So, he'll be there just picking out a bunch of guys. I think if you want to get drafted by the Lions, just show up to like the workouts to the 40 wearing a leather jacket. Guy's like, it's, you know, the vertical when they jump up?
Right.
Guy uses a switchblade. That's who Campbell's looking for. Somebody with a sledgehammer, that kind of vibe. It's going to be interesting to see who they draft.
And then we got to come up with a name for the defensive backfield when they become studs, when that's all they draft.
Oh, the Motor City Maulers.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, that sounds like I just created another XFL team. Never mind. Oh, by the way, we actually have some... You know, do I have the right music? I am all over the road this morning. I'm sorry. All right. Putz with Ryan. Last week, I heard you yelling all around the radio station. You were very excited about this.
Yeah.
The key word is...
Putt.
P-U-T-T. 248-398-9279. Text us, and then you can guess whether or not Ryan's going to miss or make the putt, right?
Yes.
If you get it right, you're in the hat for a grand prize, which is...
A trip to Treetops. Two nights, two rounds of golf at Treetops Resorts. That's a pretty sweet place to play. I played it a few times. Great up north course.
Okay. So, keyword putt, P-U-T-T. Just text us, 248-398-9279. We'll send you the link right to your phone. And there's a new one every day, so you can play every day.
Right.
Okay, putt, P-U-T-T. When are you at the golf show this weekend?
Saturday. I'll be there. The golf show's going all weekend, but I'll be there Saturday, 12 to 2, right in front of the Treetops Resort area. They have a massive setup.
You
can't miss it. Come and hang.
Are you stalking the Treetops people?
No.
Are you supposed to be there, or you just decided to go there on Saturday?
Oh, no, that's where they asked me.
Do they know you're going to show up? Okay, I don't want you standing there going... Remember that one time we went golfing? That was awesome.
I hope they don't make me sit at the top of a tree.
I'm going to sip my coffee now because I tried to eat a Cliff Bar.
Yeah, me they choking told me no theirs. More jokes like that.
Yeah, I choked on the air eating a Cliff Bar. You choked doing that. tell you what. Who wants to go to the golf show this weekend? 248-398-9279. DeMongoose standing by. We got a four-pack?
Yeah.
All right. And you're there Saturday again...
I'm there 12 to 2.
And you can't buy anything.
No, I know I can't. I was already told that.
Really? Heidi already read you the riot act?
Yep. So I already know which entrance and exit I can go out of, so I don't walk through everything. Because next thing I know, she'll be calling me at 5 o'clock going, where are you? Because I'll just walk around that place all day long. I love it.
Well, wait a minute. Call number 9, by the way. 248-398-9279. If you're going, get yourself something.
What do you need? A new set of clubs is what I need, but that's not going to happen this time.
If you could buy one club there, what do you want? Which one?
Buy one club?
I asked you first.
Oh, probably a new 60-degree wedge. I got mine stolen last year. I mean, I was drinking and left it on a hole and somebody didn't return it.
Yeah, it's a little different.
But that's on them. Yeah. Be nice on the course.
Golf show tickets, 248-398-9279. Call number 9. Hi, good morning, Big Jim's house. Who's this?
This is Rich from Warren.
Rich from Warren, you are call number 9. You're going to the golf show.
Yeah.
Congratulations. All right. Congratulations, buddy. Hey, man, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you.
You got it, buddy. Hold on. Hold on. Let's grab the next call, too. We got another pair.
Yeah.
Hi, good morning, Big Jim's house. Who's this?
Hello, my name is Eddie from Lake Orion.
Hi, Eddie from Lake Orion. Eddie, you're on the radio, and you're going to the golf show.
I would love to go to the golf show. I need to buy a new lob wedge. And I haven't had a day off. I've only had one day off the whole year. I get Sunday off, and I was fantasizing about going to the golf show. I'm sitting here driving down the road. You said call a 9, and I got on this phone as quick as I could.
Oh,
awesome,
well,
man.
Yeah, you're the right winner there, man. What do you mean you haven't had a day off all year? Nothing?
I've had one day off the whole year since the beginning of the year. I do automotive prototype, and we are busier than you know what.
Man.
Wow.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, bud. You hold on, and we'll get set up for the golf show, okay?
Thank you.
What the hell's a lob wedge?
Like the 60-degree that I was talking about.
Oh, the ones go way up in the air?
Yeah, there's just different degrees of clubs.
Okay. Like what? Like, is there like, I know I sound so stupid.
Like in my bag, in my golf bag, I have a 60-degree, a 54, and a 56.
Okay. It really makes that big of a difference?
Yeah, a 54 I can hit like 110, 120, and then a 60 I can hit 80, 90.
Just, I don't want to top you or anything, but when I played Mario Golf on the Switch, I shot 8 under.
It's real compelling talk. You can move on. Nobody cares what I'm saying. Golf talk.
Tune into that new podcast, Ryan's Lob Wedge, available at B-Pod Studios.
Yeah.
606. Ugh. Sports brought to you by DraftKings. If they still want to talk to us after Lob Wedge, download the top-rated DraftKings sports app today. Use that code CSX for a special offer when you sign up. Code CSX for a special offer when you sign up. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. By the way, putts and Ryan again. Keyword putt?
Yes.
God, you just talk. My kid and I went see Jackass last night.
Yeah.
At the movie theater.
Yeah, that's sweet.
The old 4:30 show. We had our own theater.
Nice.
It was just us.
That's cool. You can really get loud and laugh then not worry about it.
Yeah. It's a lot. So even for Jackass, it's a lot.
I'm sure, and this is the last one, so.
No, they went out with a bang. There's some moments.
It is so impressive to me that they can still do this and are willing to do this.
Well, the fact they're willing to do this, but they can't really do this because, like, Johnny Knoxville almost dies in the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and before they used to have, like, I don't know, distractions from all the pain with the amount of stuff they were doing, the amount of fun and partying they were having.
True.
And now all that's gone, so this is straight up, you're feeling everything.
It's such a weird movie to go watch. And I don't know, like, because my wife Kathy's like, there is no way in hell I'm going with you. And I told you the opening scene.
Right.
Within 30 seconds of that movie, you're so uncomfortable watching this with my 18-year-old kid sitting next to me. And I'm like, we're both like going, yeesh.
It
was so gross that Adam, who loves puppets, returning home, 8:20 tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow morning at 8:20, we are going to give away the first ticket. We're buying it for $10. But we're going to give it away to a listener so you say you have ticket number 1. The very first one.
That's pretty sweet.
We hold it. Yeah. So we'll talk with her. Again, keyword is
keyword soup.
Lot of things going on with Stone Soup right now. We're trying to figure out paint color. You'll see a bunch of concept drawings. Keyword soup, the most recent update. You'll see what it looks like in a hard top, soft top, camo top. I went upstairs yesterday and Doug Warner, who does a lot of our artwork, who's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm walking by and he goes, soft top. Just said it as I'm walking by. What? What? He's like, soft top, man. Soft top looks awesome. I'm like, okay. And I say, aren't you? I said, it's so cool. We're doing the Stone Soup Bronco. And he just looked at me and goes, it's about time. I'm like, we're trying.
Yeah, sorry, man.
It took a while. It went so well, we were stupid and quit doing it. So we're going to build this car for the ground up for vets returning home. And just like Stone Soup, if you're new to the show or new to the station, we've raised over $1 million for local charities. It's something you can only do in Detroit. Build a car and build a badass car from the ground up.
Right.
Because we ain't got no money.
No.
And between the two of us, we got some channel locks and Google.
Yeah.
That's about it, right? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yesterday, Dan Millen was on. Dan is the owner of Livernois Motorsports. We already have a motor for our 1974 Bronco, and he described it for you. So, gearheads, grab a paper towel because you're going to be slobbering in a second.
We could have just put a standard 3-inch stroke crank in it, and it could have been a 302. But we figured, why not make this thing kind of cool? We didn't want to leave stock stuff in it, so... You know, whether it's a 3-inch stroke crank or a 3250 or 3400, they're really about the same cost. So we figured, let's make this thing pretty cool. And we didn't want to go too big a stroke on it for longevity issues. You know, with a 302, you really want to keep it closer to the 3-inch. So it's a 3250 stroke. It's a 4125 bore. So it's a pretty cool little engine. It's not like your standard 302 base engine. It ends up being about 347 cubic inches, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty badass.
You kind of dialed it up a lot there, didn't you?
We did. It's also got aluminum heads on it. You know, it's a pretty powerful little engine. I know we talked before. We would like to dyno the thing if we got time for it.
We got time. Well, I talked to Doug Benziger, our project manager, last night. He said, we have time. If we want to dyno it, absolutely we can dyno it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's definitely, you know, 450 horsepower or more. But we just got a dyno it just to be sure. It, you know, it, something like this, you know, maybe a little bit better gas, a little bit more timing on it, you probably could get it close to the 500 horsepower range. So it's a pretty cool little engine.
So there you go. Holy schnickles. We make it 500 horsepower. We'll dyno it after Autorama. By the way, the motor will be down there at Livernois display at Autorama tomorrow.
Right.
500 horsepower in a Bronco. I don't even know what in 74. I don't think those Broncos even went over 200 horsepower. I really don't think that 302 was built for that. So
That's
just, if you're new again to this project, the level of love and detail that goes in, these are show cars. The Stone Soup GTO won over 200 awards.
Right.
That's low. Their guest bedroom was all trophies.
Wow.
They had to kick their grandkids out because it was all trophies for that car. So, Stone Soup Bronco, keyword soup. Oh, hold on, it's Hayes. Hayes, good morning, bud.
Hey, Jim, how are you this morning?
Wonderful.
I love you guys' show.
Thank you, brother. So, you had a question about the Stone Soup Bronco?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering if you're going to name the Stone Soup Bronco, if there's a name for it, like Old Betsy or after one of these old World War II planes or something like that.
Ooh. We've never really done that before with the other Stone Soup cars, but it doesn't mean we can't.
That's a good idea.
We called the one a Nailhead, and it was really a 47 Dodge, but it had a Buick Nailhead motor in it.
Yeah.
That's a really good question. What would be a good nickname for the Bronco? Hayes, that's a great call. We're going to work on it, buddy.
All right, man. You take care, Jim. Take care, Ryan, and congratulations on the baby, brother.
Thanks, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you, bud.
You take care. Bye-bye. Love you, too.
Can we come up with a nickname for the Bronco? I think we have to settle on the paint color first, right?
Yeah, so the paint
green,
helps.
The green machine, or you know, you got to have the paint color before we come up with a nickname. You have to. If it's a white Bronco, do we call it the OJ Express?
Ooh.
No, don't say ooh to that.
Well, why bring it
up? That's ooh, because it's comedy. No, yeah, we got to settle on the paint color first. Sure. I don't know that any of the Stone Soup cars ever had a nickname. Seriously, I don't think we ever nicknamed any of them.
Oh, that would be fun, though.
The Nailhead was freaking nightmare. That would have been that one because we built that thing in a month. That's a long story. I'll tell that story someday. What happened with that? We almost did. We almost failed on that one. We should have.
Wow.
It took 25 days.
Wow.
25 days we built that thing. Because some people, well, I don't want to get into it. Yeah, I'll sound like a grumpy old man. So anyway, keyword soup. Yeah, what's a good, I don't know what a Bronco nickname is. Bronco. Ooh, Nagurski.
Oh, wow.
See, that's an old school football reference. Nagurski.
Right.
Elway after the Denver Broncos. But we're in Detroit, so that doesn't work either.
Yeah, and Western Michigan doesn't have a good ring to it. because they're the Broncos.
We're called the Western Michigan. Yeah, you're right. We're going to wait on the paint color, and then we'll do the nicknames. Let me see. Reeling in the Ears coming up in about 15 minutes. Here's your clue.
Good clip.
Thank you. We're talking about the Stone Soup Bronco. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. $10 a ticket. 1974 Bronco. Well over 400 horsepower. Could be 500. We'll find out when we dyno it with Liberty Motorsports.
And all about the dyno.
Yeah, man. But Hayes called up and had a good question. He's like, the guys even come up with a nickname for it. Oh. We've never nicknamed any of the Stone Soup cars. The GTO a goat, but that's just because all GTOs are called goats.
Right.
It's just a thing. 248-398-9279 if you got an idea for a nickname. Chris, now what's yours?
The Power Pony.
Yeah,
I like that.
If we're going to run that 500 horsepower in this thing, the Power Pony.
And I had another thought, too. Go. If I donate the first $20, can I get the first ticket?
No, we're going to give it away on the air tomorrow at 8:20. We got to be fair to everybody, Mark. I know.
That's all right. Just going to have to call and win it anyway. So there you go.
All right, thanks, Chris. I called you, Mark, because I was looking at Mark's email. You ready for this name, Chris?
Go ahead.
Somebody, Mark Kovach sent me an email and said, we'll send both to us, Ryan. Bronco Betty instead of Black Betty.
I like that, too, because I live close to Willow Run, so we kind of got the whole, the Ypsilanti Airport thing. Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Tying it all together.
I see you working, Chris. You have a good day, bud.
Yeah, you too.
All right, later. Line two. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Jim.
You got a nickname for the Bronco?
Hey. No, I was just wondering, you guys got connections. You ought to call Nuge. He used to have a whole fleet of them, though, Broncos. I used to work on them at a garage.
So you did, because I saw this. He has great videos of him. But he had, those things were horsed up too, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, they were built and they were all tripped out.
All right.
I remember I used to work on them. If you went past 2 on the dial on the radio, you'd blow your ears out.
Oh, good Lord. All right, well, we'll talk to Uncle Ted about the Bronco. We'll get him on.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Dan, have a good morning, bud.
You too. Great. Bye.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys are looking for a nickname for the Bronco.
Yeah.
Go back to Romancing the Stone movie with
Kathleen Turner.
Mule.
Yeah. What was it?
It was called Pepe the Little Mule.
Pepe the Little Mule. That was their car, right? The little thing they ripped around
in. It was a Bronco.
Oh, that was the one that was all tricked out, right?
Yeah, he had the tailgate on the back, of bulletproof. And
Michael Douglas. It was the drug lord, though. It wasn't Michael Douglas.
Yeah, it was the drug lord had it. He was transporting him out.
There it is. All right. Thank you, brother.
Thanks. You bet.
Bye. Reeling coming up next. Glenn is messing with the thermostat. There's your clue. Working on nicknames here. Somebody texted and said we should make a contest out of it. I think we should, but let's wait till we get the paint color. Right? Because that's going to have part of the nickname.
Yeah, I think it contributes to it.
The green machine. If we paint it green and white.
No.
Why can't I paint it green and white? Go fight win.
Call it little brother.
We call it Big Mel. Dennis.
God.
How you doing, bud? Thanks for holding.
Yeah.
Oh, so you got
no problem.
Nickname idea?
It's got to be Billy. Bronco Billy.
You don't know. He doesn't know that movie.
I do not.
Clint Eastwood. It's called Bronco Billy.
I love you, Bronco Billy.
Great movie with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, that's...
Not one of his biggest movies, but a great... Wow, nice call. Nice poll, Dennis. Have a good morning.
Yeah, you too.
Later.
Goodbye.
He's like a washed-up rodeo entertainer.
Oh.
And he's called Bronco Billy. And it's the end of it. He's drinking and everything else and stuff. It's really good. It's not your normal Clint Eastwood movie.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he sings in it for some reason.
I like human names for cars. It's like dogs. It's always funny.
Right. Bronco Billy? There's a one. That is a good one. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's happening?
You are, baby. You got a nickname?
All right. If it's going to be green, there ain't no other name but Broncozilla.
Broncozilla, Hamtramck Mike, man. Good to talk to you, bud.
I see something. Broncozilla, somebody just texted in. Bronchosaurus.
Oh, the Bronchosaurus?
That's a real dinosaur, right?
Yeah, there's a dino. No, Brachiosaurus.
A Bronchosaurus.
It's a Brachiosaurus, not a Bronchosaurus.
Oh.
Yeah. Bronchosaurus is when you sack John Elway
back
in the Super Bowl.
To school.
Me study good in Walled Lake. Did they give you a crayon when you graduated?
Oh,
hi, John.
Sorry, John.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Sorry, good morning.
You got a nickname for the Bronco?
I've had a Coney at the Coney and Howell. It's good. He was talking about that the other day, about passing that Coney in, on Grand River and Howell. It's very good, very good. The French fries are nice and brown on the outside and soft on the inside. Perfect.
John, what the hell are you calling about? We're talking about Bronco nicknames.
I'm calling about a nickname. I want to throw one in the hat. Wild Horses. Then it would have its own song, too. It's got a great harmonica section in it. We're mixed playing the harmonica.
You are full of details this morning, John.
I love it.
Love it, man. All right, have a good morning, John. Bye.
So we got to eat a Coney, listen to the Stones well in a Bronco. Got it.
I
got
to listen to Saturday morning show so I know what the hell we were just talking about. Bruce.
Hey, good morning.
You got a Bronco nickname?
I got three.
Go.
Stallion, that's obvious.
Yeah.
Stompin' Stallion.
Okay.
Or Stomper, and have that hind quarter of a horse with the hoof prints.
I kind of like Stomper.
Stomper.
That's a cool
one. That's pretty cool.
Stomper, the Stone Soup Bronco. It's
yeah, I got my boots on, the sun's coming up. So.
Nice. All right. Hey, Bruce, have a good morning, bud.
Thanks, guys. See you.
248-398-9279. Did you Google Bronchosaurus? Did you find that one?
Yeah, it's real.
Kumai ai, rakahan, thumb instai, wax on, hat, wax off.
There is more to life than what you're living. So take a chance and face the wind. An open road and a road that's hit. Brand new life around the bend.
Hey, Samantha, what are they going to win?
We got a pair of tickets to the 69th annual McGuire's Autorama happening at the Huntington Place this weekend. Return of America's Greatest Hot Rods presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Still time to get tickets.
You're not even trying anymore with the deep voice guy.
I know. I'm just trying to switch it up. Been reading this for a few.
That's okay.
The 69th annual McGuire's Autorama at Huntington Place. This weekend, the Return of America's Greatest Hot Rods Show, presented by O'Reilly's. If you do it right, you should sound a little bit like Optimus Prime. Decepticons, get there early.
See, I can do the new guy. Come on down to Autorama!
How did you get a family double dare to have time to do that? Anyway, I almost put the winner on live. We've never done that.
Ooh.
You want to?
Sure, why
we're
not?
We're running a couple minutes late this morning. Let's change it up a little bit.
All right.
Mongoose ripping through the phone calls this morning. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
We are wonderful. What year are we looking for?
1984, the heat is on.
There you go.
Nice.
Hey, Glenn, the heat is on, Karate Kid, and let me see, who's the boss? With Tony Danza. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're going
off. What was that song, what movie was that for?
Oh, Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Were you asking us trivia questions? Look at you.
I was.
Nice, Laura. Bring it on. And who performed?
I got my boots on too.
Dang.
All right, Laura. So who performed the song, the theme song for Beverly Hills Cop 2?
Ooh, I don't know.
It was Glenn's best friend.
Oh.
Oh, you got me there. Isn't that terrible?
That Shakedown by Bob Seger was in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Oh, that's right.
See?
That's
there you go.
Right.
Dang.
Yeah.
I just lost those tickets, too.
Sorry.
We
had Autorama tickets for you, but they're gone now, Laura. So. No, you hold on. Have a great morning, and we will see you at Autorama, okay?
All right. Thank you. I will see you there. Going to buy my ticket.
Yes.
Nice.
That's what we love to hear.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Buy my ticket.
You got it. CSX Big Jim's house. It is 6:56. CSX Files coming up at 7:20. Rocky goes nuts, and she earned her way back into jail. It'll all make sense. And then okay. Guy Fieri coming up at 7:40. He's got the Tournament of Champions 3 on the Food Channel, Food Network. We'll talk with him. 7:40. Guy Fieri. We have his video posted, right?
Yeah, keywords hack.
This guy is talking about all these hacks at Costco. I've been in a Costco, but I don't have a membership. And I don't know that I ever bought anything. I went with a friend and went to Costco.
Yeah, just walked through with him.
I've always wanted to. I know, it's like, really?
You guys don't have like Costco or Sam's Club or any of those?
Oh, we got a ton of them all around us.
No, I know. I just mean got a membership to one.
I had one for Sam's for a while and didn't use it enough, so we kind of felt like doing that.
Yeah, Heidi and I are excited. That was a big adult purchase. It was our Costco membership.
You got your Costco card?
Earlier this year.
So if you don't have a Costco card, how do you get in? Again, keyword hack, H-A-C-K. You'll see more of this guy's video. But he gave this.
Now, you know, if you have no membership at Costco, you unfortunately can't shop there. Sorry. Or can you? Yes, there is a way. If you already know somebody that has a membership, you can have them go to Costco and purchase a Costco gift card for you. You give them the cash, they give you the card, and voila, you can now use that card to enter into Costco and purchase whatever you want. Even if what you're buying exceeds the amount of the gift card, you pay the difference and boom.
Really? Okay. I know I see the people up front where they check your Costco card.
Yeah, those are ex-SEAL Team 6 guys and stuff. It's serious, man.
Come on.
I'm joking about that, but it is. They do check.
Have you ever seen someone get rousted at a Costco? I mean, where like the people. What do you mean they check?
So they check your membership card. You have a photo on a card and stuff. I got mine with me.
So when you walk in, they check it and then you go shopping.
Yeah. But I went in before with. But they also check it when you go to check out. You have to show them your card as well.
I'm sorry, what? So when you're leaving?
When you're leaving, you show them your card.
Who does? The cashier?
Yeah, the cashier. You got to show them your card as well. Because me and my wife, before we had ours, tried to use her mom's same last name and thought she was on the account. They wouldn't let us buy anything. We had to call up her mom and get her on the phone and stuff.
So what are the people doing when I've seen people, like, checking the receipt as well, like the people
so
at the
as
door?
As you're leaving, after you buy your stuff and you're leaving, somebody grabs your receipt and goes through and checks off each item. Because they don't bag the items or anything. So
keyword hack.
Technically just take a basket and walk out.
So there's more security at Costco than a bank.
Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's big time.
Do they roust people, though? I mean, do they seriously shake people down?
Let me see your card. There's my card. So you got your photo on it and everything. It's like an ID card.
Your member number's 111-9... No, it's awesome. Nice picture.
Yeah, not a great hat to wear.
Hi there. 248-398-927. I didn't even notice that.
The hat I got.
You can enter Costco without a membership. All you have to do is tell them you want to buy alcohol. There's no membership required to buy alcohol at Costco. Really?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Well, now I'm nervous to go to Costco's because it sounds like they're going to shake you down 8 different ways.
And they got 32 packs there.
Of boozes?
Yeah, you want to be the king of the party? Show up with a 32-pack. Everybody, where'd you get that from?
So that photo that you took for your Costco card, you're hammered. That makes more sense now. Heidi was driving. Okay. Zach, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Big Jim. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, bud.
So you got turned away?
I was refused access inside of Costco with my wife standing 20 feet inside the door holding my ID.
It's real deal stuff there.
I'm learning this. Keyword hack, so they don't mess around.
No. Well, Costco's worse than Sam's Club. But, yeah, the people going out the door, those people are the frickin' door Nazis of all.
Oh, my God. So, like,
oh, dude, they're pathetic.
So they're, well, I mean, they're doing their job. I'm not mad at them. They've been tasked to do that. So they really do go through your receipt and check everything?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, Sam's Club's now got a digital scanner where they have to scan certain items.
All right.
Because it would be easy at Costco. If they didn't have anybody there at the end, it'd be easy to walk out. Because you don't bag anything. Everything just gets thrown right back in the cart.
Right.
So you could just technically walk out if nobody's there. Nobody's going to say a word. There's a million people flying around.
Keyword hack if you want to see these Costco hacks.
You know what? I wonder.
75-inch TVs right there. Yeah, it doesn't help.
I wonder if anybody can go there and get lunch without being a member. Because they have the whole courtyard. So. They have a cafeteria there.
The hot dogs are famous. Yeah. We're talking about Costco hot dogs.
I wonder about that,
huh?
I don't
know. Hey, the pizza's great, too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. How do you know?
Yeah.
Mr. Sneaker.
You're not even allowed
Mr. Sneaker Inner. We've got you on our watch list now.
Just to get a pizza,
Right, yeah. Okay.
I'm going to bring you up at our annual members meeting.
Yeah, people who Ryan's a member. He's like,
Costco.
There's a window washer who's trying to sneak in. That bastard. All right, thanks, Zach.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Oh, man.
Okay. Now I'm really nervous. I don't know that I want a membership to Costco if you're going to get... You're going to get interrogated 3 different ways. Maybe they should set up Costco's at the TSA instead. Just do it that way. Check your ticket 3 times and get on the plane when you get off the plane.
Shoes off when you go in.
Right, exactly, man. Are you serious, though? They're really
there once since we just got our membership a couple months ago.
Okay.
But we went to it once and, you know, loaded up for the house.
Okay.
And then I've went once by myself before her birthday party.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone listening right now who is not allowed to go to Costco because of what they buy? Man or woman? Or is there someone in your life that you have banned from going to Costco because what did you do when you went to Costco on your own?
I bought a bunch of booze when I was supposed to for the party, but then I saw 100 count of 5-hour energy, so I bought it. I don't even know why. I don't even drink them that much.
I've never seen you drink a 5-hour energy here.
No, there's about 98 left of them.
So
just sitting in our pantry.
That's such a horrible impulse buy. So you're not allowed to go to Costco now on your own?
No. She won't let me because I buy stupid stuff. I bought a dog bed for our dog.
Tell me this. There's more to this.
He doesn't even like them. We ended up giving it to a friend.
This was the dog. This is all when you went to get the booze for a party.
Yeah, I came back with a bunch more stuff.
So what you bought 5-hour energy drinks that you don't drink. You bought a dog bed that your dog doesn't like. Anything else?
No, and then just cases of beer and booze.
Okay. You probably bought too much than what you needed for the party?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird combination. A dog bed, 5-hour energy, and booze.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of night you're getting into, buddy.
Ah, man. I don't know what you guys do out there in Brighton.
There is a Costco move with older gentlemen. Noticed this. When you have beer in your cart, they love telling their wife, I'm going with this guy.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to that party.
Oh, man, partying tonight. I'm going with this guy, hon.
Tear it up, yeah.
She's like, shut up. I've heard that 80,000 times.
Are you doing that Project X thing? Sounds awesome. Keyword hack. Is it Edward? Oh, we were talking, too, that... Apparently, you can go in there if you have a gift card. They'll let you in. Because you get checked 3 different times. And then the food court, I'm not sure about.
Well, we've gotten a bunch of texts that said they've recently changed it. So you can go in there and get food if you're not a member. You can just go have lunch.
Hey, good morning, Edward. Go ahead, bud.
Yes. I go to Costco in Livonia all the time and get food. And I'm not a member.
So if you just tell them you're going to get something to eat, you can go get something to eat.
No, you don't talk at all. If you talk to them, they're going to want to see your membership. And you walk close to somebody who has a card and walk right in.
Oh, I see you working here. What do you get, the pizza or the hot dog? What do you go get, or one of their sandwiches?
Oh, I usually get the hot dog and triple berry sundae.
He knows. This is a pro here. Edward, you're awesome, dude. Hey, appreciate you listening. Have a good morning.
All right, you too.
Mongoose just put on our call screener. Go to Sam's Club. That's it. That's all.
I wonder, that's got to be a real rival, huh?
Oh, it is.
Rivalry?
Yeah, it's one or the other. If you go to Sam's Club and someone goes, hey, I got a Costco membership, you're like...
But then it's the old Mitch Hedberg thing. If you see a guy on the street named Sam and he asks for what you got to give it to him. It's his club.
Right. I see you working there. Is that why you go to Costco?
Yeah.
I still can't believe your wife won't let you go to Costco on your own.
There's too many cool things to buy.
Are you sure you're not a squirrel?
Coney.
C-O-N-E-Y. We're down to the aisle eight. Are you checking the voting?
Yeah, once it loads.
That's okay. Vote once per round. We'll throw your name in a digital hat. Everybody who votes, you are going to wind up actually getting, you'll be in the running for a autographed Alice Cooper Court street sign. And the winning Coney gets $15,000 marketing plan from WCSX and Beasley Media. Thank you, Mac. Thank you, Scott. We love you.
Yeah.
All right. Keyword Coney, C-O-N-E-Y. You checking the verse? Where are we at with this?
All right. excuse me. Right now, the closest battle, just a few separating them. Angelo's Coney Island and Jerry's Coney Island.
Really?
And I know Jerry's they're really using that Facebook, how we've talked about, to share it.
Yes.
They are using it, and it's working out for them.
I think Jerry's been around since like 1970. It's on 59 in Waterford. Yeah. No, cool place. I was talking about my buddy Bill Mesta, the Coney Cafe, the one he burned down, which they'll rebuild, by the way. Which kind of a bummer. We're having a Coney fight.
I know.
We started a Coney dog fight the week my friend's Coney burned to the ground. Strange. Anyway, he knows the folks at Jerry. Says they're awesome. Says they're a great group of people there.
Cool.
So, and what are the other ones?
And then we got National Coney Island going up against Leo's Coney.
That's a big battle.
It
big
is.
Big dogs?
It is.
The dog.
American versus George's Coney Island. And then Lafayette Coney versus Olympia.
Okay. Olympia's on Verner.
I believe so, yeah.
Verner.
Those are our four matchups this this round.
Keyword Coney. Voting ends tomorrow night at 11:59 p.m.
Right.
So we've been talking about the Elite Eight instead of the Elite Eight. How about this one? Murray Zeidman. I'm going to give Murray full credit for this one. He sent us an email yesterday. How about for the next round?
The CSX Files.
By the way, if you ever miss any of the CSX Files, we'll text you a link and you can subscribe. The keyword is...
File.
F-I-L-E. Start off in Louisiana. Livingston Parish, Louisiana. Police officer was attacked during a traffic stop. Deputies opened a passenger side door on a traffic stop. They were attacked, not by the driver of the car, mind you.
Oh, yeah.
It was the pet squirrel in the car.
Uh-huh.
The pet squirrel charged and attacked them. Officers took one person into custody. The squirrel was placed back in its cage. Nobody was harmed in the incident. But can you imagine that, having a pet squirrel come flying at you like that? Hey, Rocky, quit attacking the police.
God.
Again? A pet squirrel. So the cage got open. Was the squirrel running around inside the car? Or did the guy, when he got pulled over, know what he was doing? And he released the attack squirrel.
Oh, my God.
Say, conspiracy theory there. Do you know anyone who has a pet squirrel?
A pet squirrel? No.
I know. I got friends who have pet skunks, all sorts of animals, pet rats. We talked about that earlier this week, but a pet squirrel?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the old squirrel pet.
No? Is that what the kids are calling it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a pet squirrel's weird. That's a strange one. I mean, they really are cute and everything, but I don't know. Apparently, this person had attacked a police officer. Now, in the squirrel's defense, it was watching a show when they got pulled over, and it made him pause it, and he was upset.
Right.
Do you know what squirrels use to watch their shows?
What?
Netflix. Long way to go to get there. All right, second story, sir.
All right, we got a lady out in London who she has to move because she's fully convinced that her house is haunted.
Okay.
She's got a ghost in her house. We hear these stories all the time. But it just happens to be an old Manchester United football player.
It's a soccer player for Man U?
Yeah.
Who is
back,
it?
I don't know. They don't share the name, but she just says she can tell because of what he's wearing.
He's wearing a Man U.
The old school, like the 60s Man U stuff.
The kit?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. That's very specific. Did the Man U player ever live in the house?
No. She said she's had multiple incidences, you know, furniture moves, TV turns on, that kind of stuff. But she's got to get out of there. She couldn't take him yelling, goal! At 2:30 in the morning every night. And just constantly having to walk over him because he's hurt all the time.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. The exorcism would take like a month because every time you hold up a cross, he'd fall down and go, my knee! Have a priest come out with a sponge. Yeah. They'd spray him down and
just
do that.
It was a dead giveaway when I just saw a horrible pair of teeth floating across the room.
Was that your British joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good teeth.
Oh, no, I got it.
Right?
No.
You're good with the goal one. My British listeners out there.
Too late. You can't ask backwards. Yeah, no, you already dropped the dental bomb on him. Yeah. I apologize. That's a very specific ghost.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you were haunted by a guy, another famous soccer player who tears up all the furniture, and she knew who he was because he's making a messy.
That was pretty good.
Where was that? Thanks. Where was that a couple minutes ago? I don't know. He doesn't tell me what he's doing, so I don't know what the story is.
That was good.
Thank you. This is the weirdest story of the week, and this goes back a while. A woman in Pennsylvania got two guys to do something for her.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Last year, and she just got caught. Her probation officer saw this. What did he see? He saw an urn sitting on a table. So what? She paid two guys to go dig up her boyfriend's urn. And they did it. They went and dug this thing up last summer. Her name's Nicole Chester. She's 33 years old. She's facing charges. Excuse me. She got two guys to rob her ex-boyfriend's grave and steal his ashes. Here's the problem, though. She's on probation. Police told her probation officer about it. When the probation officer went there to visit, they found out about it. The urn was sitting out on a table. They also found some weed and a bag of crystal meth residue.
Ah, all right.
They arrested Nicole, charged her with felony vandalism, theft, receiving stolen property, drugs, and desecration of a grave. She's due in court this week. The guys who dug up the ashes, and I'm not joking, have not been charged for this, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they did the act.
You did the, yeah, you know, I mean, Robert Blake said in Bretta, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Keep your eye. Anyway,
gosh, usually like an old photo or, oh, this was his favorite hat, will do.
And the family suspected her, but they couldn't prove it because they didn't go to her house. They, when the cemetery called them and said, someone dug up your,
yeah,
your kid's urn.
Oh, and I'm sure they knew immediately who it was.
Isn't that wild?
That nut job.
Yep. If you, by the way, if you, do you ever watch Antique Roadshow?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen some of the urns, how much they're worth on there?
Right.
What, thousands, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they get
thousands,
up there.
Thousands. The most valuable urn that I've seen recently is from the year 2000.
Really?
Yeah, it's called an urn of the century.
Oh, man.
Remember when I was a kid, I used to build this weird thinking about family and stuff. Like, when I was a kid, I used to make sandcastles with my grandpa all the time. Used to do that. Did you ever?
Yeah.
Okay, I used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
And then my grandma said, you can't, and put all the ashes back in the urn.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
all right, well, is it Friday yet? Sun's coming up.
Yeah.
We're done with urn jokes, aren't we?
Yeah, let's earn the page on this break.
Clock, right? On the Food Network?
Yes.
Tournament of Champions 3 is back. I'm vamping a little bit. We're waiting for it to get him on the phone there. But we got him. Guy Fieri joins us. All right. Hey, Guy, can we address something about TOC?
The fact that it is just completely the most difficult thing in the entire world? Yeah, go right ahead.
Why are we so anxious watching it? We see how anxious you are. This is the most compelling and nerve-wracking competition I've ever seen.
It is. Okay, so most of these folks, and by the end of it, they usually all are my closest friends. And why, people say to me, why do you do this to your closest friends? I said, because someone wants to be crowned the champ. Someone wants to know that they've gone to the dark depths of culinary competition to win this and win $100,000 and the title. And it is, I'm not kidding, man. I'm the same way. That's why we made the randomizer. So I didn't have to pick and give them categories. That's why we did the blind judging. So I didn't have to be around there to have someone argue that whether or not they knew that person or that person doesn't like their type of food or whatever. I just made this thing completely there, so there was no question. And it's one and done or move on. And it really is that, it's that nail biting. I mean, my family comes to watch it. You know, we shoot it in my hometown in Northern California. My family comes to watch it and people leave with a pit in their stomach, like, oh, God, you know. Going to commercials like the most painful thing in the world. I'm like, I'm with you. I'm with you. So I'm glad you're getting the same feelings. It means I'm doing my job correctly.
Oh, you are. So how long from the time the dish is finished and you hit the buzzer, how long until the judges have tried the food? What's the gap?
It's usually about 5 to 10 minutes, but we cloach the food, you know, so we'll keep the food warm. We ask the chef, how do you want it? Do you want it held in a steamer? Do you want it held in a hot box? Do you want it held room temperature? Do you want it? How do you want it? So, and the judges also have to take a little bit into consideration that, you know, it's not directly piping hot like it came off a kitchen line and put onto a plate and served in the dining room. So that everybody's aware of from any days of competition, you know, food. But no, we turn and burn. We shoot two of those shows in a day. So it's no joke. I mean, it's hardcore. And just so you know, to shoot a show is, you know, from setup to breakdown. I mean, we're there for 10, 12-hour days.
So the judges, too, one of the things we always talk about, like Survivor, we all know the tribal council is really like an hour, hour and a half that they edit down. How long do the judges actually go discussing the two dishes before we see the edited version?
It's anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes apiece.
Really?
To 10 minutes apiece. I don't really on something like on Guys Grocery Games. I really curtail them because it's such. We do so many shows, and the judges love to pontificate on this because there's so much at stake, and the chefs are playing at such a high level, and there's so many intricacies for them to understand. Because we have a culinary ambassador, either Simon Majumdar or Justin Warner, right, standing there. The judges, the chefs aren't there to defend themselves, not defend themselves, explain themselves. So these two are there. They've been watching the entire cook. They've asked a bunch of questions, and they're the ones that are able to explain to the judges if someone were to ask what was the intention of this or that. So there's a lot that goes on. I mean, there's a lot of cameras. We shoot with about 25 cameras. And it's intense.
Well, Guy, and you can't interject yourself into this because you do know all the contestants. So I'd imagine right. You have to stand there and kind of bite your tongue.
Oh. I mean, at least on Guys Grocery Games, I can walk in and kind of make a little subtlety or something. But no, this year, you know, this is such high stakes poker that I can't say a thing. And even when they're cooking, like I'll be watching one of my really close friends just blowing it, not using the equipment correctly. You know, they have to use that on the randomizer, we give them a piece of equipment they have to do, or they're not following the theme that is dictated. And, you know, I when they're under the pressure, I say this about Guys Grocery Games all the time. I watch my best friends come in and watch their heads fall off right in the middle of competition. And people are like, well, what does that mean? I go, when you're under such pressure, time is so limited, you can simply step over a key culinary factor like putting salt in the water when you make pasta and be like, really, that happens? I'm like, oh man, like you wouldn't even believe. So yeah, in this capacity, these chefs really get put to the, they'll all tell you, there's not one person will tell you it's not the most difficult competition they've ever been in.
Jeez. Hey, Guy, I followed Carl from like day one when he first came on Opie with you when you brought him on and stuff. How do you think he would do in this? I mean, I think he'd do great through this competition with the amount of trash talks and stuff, but how do you think he'd do in Tournament of Champions?
Well, I miss my buddy, the Cuban. I was just talking about him the other night. I'm down here in Miami. He just finished up the Food and Wine Festival, and I wear his bracelet still on my arm. I don't know. I've talked about it often about, you know, when do you get over this kind of heartbreak? I mean, I lost a brother, and it still just drives me nuts. And it's funny because we talk about him on TOC. One of the reasons that I don't allow the judges to talk to the contestants, even if we morphed their voice, is because the Cuban could sell a Texas popsicle to somebody in white gloves.
Absolutely.
Right? This guy could make up a story about what something was and how this was a family recipe that, of course, they used Spam and Jello to make, you know, he just always had such a great gift to gab. So we laugh at it. Was he a great chef? He's probably one of the best chefs I've ever known in my life. And I think he would have fared really well because he had such a plethora of knowledge and bandwidth of food. But I do say one of the reasons he won so much in Guys Grocery Game is because when he could get up there and swoon the judges, he did it better than anybody.
All right, two quick things before we let you go. Tournament of Champions Season 3, Sunday nights, Food Network, got to watch it. I want you to represent the West Side. Alex, represent the East Side. You guys square off. The winner gets two extra minutes for their team in the first round.
For
Tournament of Champions. You represent the West Side. Alex represents the East Side. You guys compete with only the other cooks watching you, and the winner gets two extra minutes for their team in the first round.
I think you've made wonderful things happen. I think that's a fantastic idea. Actually, really, that's a fantastic idea. Because people have been asking when I'm going to come and compete in Tournament of Champions. I said, I kind of got into that grandfather clause now where I'm, you know, I'm the guy that makes the shows and produces the shows and hosts the shows. So I my ship has kind of sailed. But I said, you will see it happen one day. There will be a charity-based event where we will do something and I will compete because I love to compete. I mean, I love to cook. I love to cook under pressure. Matter of fact, and this is something a lot of people don't know, but when we're doing Guys Grocery Games and we're only down to three chefs, I will go to the fourth kitchen and cook whatever they're cooking.
Oh, we know. We watch you do it. Right. It's magical when you're doing that,
oh, okay,
Guy.
You see that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I love it. But the only but inside of this is you want me to go against ICAG?
Yes. If you're going to go big, come on, Guy. Go big.
Yeah, go big and get your butt kicked by Alex. That's like a wonderful time.
All right, last thing real quick. Sammy, we're having our 35th anniversary concert for our radio station here in Detroit with Sammy Hagar. He's playing the gig. So we've been tasked to come up with a drink, and I'm thinking we got to create something with Santo Tequila, but a Motor City type drink. So I'm not asking you to come up with it right now, but we're going to work on it, Guy. We're working on one.
I would love to hear about it. And of course, the Red Rocker is, you know, he's everybody's favorite rock star. I mean, the guy has done so much, and he's my business partner and one of my best friends, and he's a great mentor to me. And what a great way to celebrate is to bring
Guy. They're gone. They told us they were going to cut us off at 49. And they cut us off at 49. Guy Fieri. He liked the idea for him. He should cook in Tournament of Chiefs. If you guys haven't watched this, by the way, it's fantastic.
It really is. Yeah.
Food Network, Sunday nights, 8 o'clock. Guy Fieri, appreciate the time there, man. I don't know what it is yet, but is it money related?
Yeah, money related.
Oh, no. All right. I saw this TikTok and I was thinking about it. What's the laziest thing you've ever done? 248-398-9279. You don't have to. If no one wants, I don't worry about it. If you want to call, great. I don't like to put anybody on the spot this morning. The laziest thing. I'll tell you something I do right now that is just, I don't know. I've just gotten a groove of being lazy about this. So, you've been around me. I'm a shorts guy.
Right.
I don't like wearing jeans and stuff, although it's 19 degrees right now, so kind of have to. When I come home, Adam, my son, does half his classes for college. He's at OCC, Oakland Community College. He'll do half of them there and then half of them at home. So if he's home, and I'll text him when I get in the drive and go, hey, can you throw my shorts down?
What? Okay.
My shorts are hanging up upstairs in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I will ask him to throw my shorts down because I don't want to go up a flight of stairs and put them on. And I will just stand in the living room, drop my pants, throw my shorts on, and put my pants on the steps.
Oh, that's fine. I change my living room all the time.
But it's the fact that I'm not willing to go up a flight of stairs.
You don't want to go up 12 steps.
Correct. Then I want my son, who's in college, doing a class, to stop so I can get my shorts to wear. But I do it every day. I'm not proud of it. Well, I'm kind of proud of it because what?
I was going to say, he's enabling you.
So it's Adam's fault? Thank you. I love you. I appreciate that, Ryan. Stupid kid. This lady on TikTok, though, here's her confession.
I just saw a video where they said twice a year they splurge on getting delivery. Let me just show you how lazy I am. That's Olive Garden. I've gotten delivery from there.
She has DoorDashed for an Olive Garden that is right across the street. I mean, like, out the window, right across the street.
Yeah. I didn't bring this to your attention because we used to do this with Pizza Hut when I lived in Arizona.
No, keep going. You, me and
my buddy, when I went out there to caddy for him when we were going through Q School, the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
We lived in an apartment complex, and there was a Pizza Hut straight across the street. And for us, two guys not making a lot of money at the time, you could get that big box that had three shelves that came out.
Sure.
It's like pizza, breadsticks, and another one.
Absolutely, yeah.
We used to get that, but we never want to go and get it, so we'd always have it delivered. And it was, you could see, I could call him and see the guy talking to me on the phone.
So you're tight on money, but you're too lazy to walk across the street to the Pizza Hut.
It was a four-lane road, and it's the same road I ran into a bobcat thinking it was a regular cat.
Well, it's not like a game of Frogger. They're not going to run you over. I mean, oh, good Lord. Okay. Well, I feel much better about having the shorts tossed down.
Yeah. There's hills and stuff. It's a tough walk.
It's Arizona.
Yeah. It was the Catalina foothills. It's rolling through the mountains.
How old were you when you were out there?
19, in the best shape of my life.
Okay.
Walking 20 miles a day.
You'd make the worst lawyer ever. You would talk yourself out of case. Yeah, by the end of you, you'd be going, yeah, I know he's guilty.
Yeah.
Here she is explaining it, though.
I just saw a video where they said twice a year they splurge on getting delivery. Let me just show you how lazy I am. That's Olive Garden. I've gotten delivery from there.
David texted in and said, why do you keep your shorts upstairs? Hang them in the laundry room or in the garage or somewhere else that you're allowed to put them. Stop putting them upstairs. Yeah, but then when I go upstairs at night, I take my shorts off when I get into bed. But then I'd have to bring them back down in the morning, and you try carrying shorts down a flight of stairs. See, I'm just bringing the point out. I understand. This is incredibly lazy, David. Thank you for the text message. I understand. I'll tell you what. I will not ask Adam to toss shorts down to me when I get home today.
Yeah, right.
What, another text?
Yeah, Ed texted and said, one time my son texted me from his bedroom. I was in the living room to make him a hot dog. I wonder how many kids do that now with how big phones are. That's like the new intercom system throughout houses. Go ahead.
Kathy was hungover once, and when we were newlyweds, and I get a text message from her. And it just out of a station in Charleston at the time. It just said Waffle House. Please go to Waffle House.
That's hilarious.
See, now anyone listening who's done something lazy like we have, you don't feel so bad. At least you don't order DoorDash from Olive Garden when it's across the street.
Right.
Is that right? Right?
Yeah.
Can you go get me some coffee? I'm thirsty. You mind? Can you do that? Say no.
No.
Good. Look at you. There he goes.
Get your own coffee.
Peace.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you want to do this?
It's a good one.
Do you want to do this?
100%.
You always have to ask the question three times. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't have one without the other. Love and marriage. Love and marriage.
Ryan and Heidi are newlyweds with a baby on the way. And Ryan has questions. Is this grounds for divorce?
So what's going on with the money there, Ryan Logan Jr. Esquire III?
All right, we talked about the whole bank last week, combining accounts, but this one's different. Yesterday, I was going through the closet. We're moving stuff around with the new baby's room and stuff like that.
Sure.
I found a big old mason jar full of change, dollar bills, cash, full of money. I've never seen it before. So, ooh. I'm wondering, is this Heidi hiding money from me?
No, Heidi's working right now, so she's not hearing.
No,
this.
She's not hearing this one. And should I go, hey, what's this jar about, or just leave it?
Okay, so you haven't mentioned it yet.
No.
Should you mention it to her? So you found a mason jar full of money in the closet. She's never mentioned this.
No,
you're sure?
I've never.
Come on, your memory sometimes is not the best. Let's be honest.
I mean, that I can remember. Okay. I'll say that right. I can remember that it's been mentioned.
So do you go frozen and just let it go? See what I did there? And by the way, what is John Mason, the Pistons PA announcer, putting money in your wife's closet? Damn it, Mason. I don't know. Do you bring that up or not?
But it's odd because my first thought is like, okay, it's got to be just she finds it around the house and throws it in here, or she's had it for a while, because there's a couple like Canadian dollar, $5 bills and stuff, Canadian bills in there.
Okay. So you don't know because you're afraid to go over to Windsor. So maybe she's going over to Windsor and just partying.
Well, that's what my second thought is. Has she had this for 4 years?
Oh, no.
We haven't went to Canada. The last time I went to Canada was with you.
So you need to bring it up.
So she's had this for years and years.
Bring it up. What could happen? 248-398-9279 is our house phone. 248-398-WCSX.
I mean, she doesn't seem like the person who would hide this from me. But then again, I'm like, there's a lot of money in there. Why the hell don't I know about this thing?
Phone's had a great text. Hey, honey, I found your cash stash. Phone just went to sleep. You're splitting it with me. That's what love and marriage is all about.
Yeah, I mean...
Ooh, Art, no. I have 4 change containers of laundry change in my house. Relax, dude. 248-398-9279.
Yeah, but do you have it put up in the top of a closet?
So do you think she was hiding it or she forgot about it? Because that's a big deal, right? I mean, you hide money. We all say any survey you see about relationship issues, the number one stress on a relationship is money.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope, but I would assume, just knowing my wife, that she just forgot about it, and it's something that she's had for a while.
Big Dan said, set it out on the counter. See what she says.
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
What's the one from the 519?
Oh, you need to let it go. Maybe she's saving to buy you something.
I don't know, Ryan.
It's like I said, with the Canadian money and stuff, I'm like, this has got to just be a spare thing. She throws it in there and just never...
Then bring it up.
There's no reason to. I don't care. It's just like, now that I found it, I'm like, whoa, look at this, man. You're keeping your own piggy bank.
A piggy bank. She's got a little, some side money there. Does everybody do that? Does everybody have some money hidden away?
Okay. Yeah.
You should bring it up.
I think so.
Bring it up. I like big.
Keep going.
Katie.
Yes. Hi.
You texted good morning. You texted us an amazing story. By the way, great text. Maybe it's a fund for a gift for you. You also have a show called Grounds for Divorce. She deserved the stash, LOL. Oh, that's a good point, yeah. So now, wait a minute. You said a friend found a piano with what in it?
Okay, so it had close to $1 million in it. It's his parents live in one house, and then the next door neighbors are moving, so they were going to buy that house from them. And they had like a bunch of like large furniture, and they were like, you can keep it if you want to, but if you want the piano, it's like $100 more. And they weren't going to buy the piano at first, but then my friend was getting into music. So he was like, well, let's just get it. You know, I might play it. We can tune it or whatever. Cause it was out of tune. So, they ended up buying it, and then it was sitting there for like 4 months before they went to go get it tuned, and the guy asked them to look inside of it to see if there was anything stuck or like moved or whatever, and they found just stacks and stacks of cash.
Wow.
It was wild.
So how much? Can we ask how much money was it?
It was like $975,000, close to $1 million. And this was in Wyandotte. It was crazy. He was telling us about it, and it like paid for the whole house and then some. So I'll say his first name is Chris, but I can't say his last name.
Yeah, no.
Did
Chris
the IRS.
Money? Okay, well, I was going to say, what did Chris do with the money? Keep it, give it back, or just kind of like that it is what it is?
It's like, I know it helped pay for the house. Like, you know, like he ended up buying the house straight from his parents with it because they were like, well, it's your piano because you're the one who convinced us to get it. So then they just use it, like him and his family. Yeah, it was.
Wow.
All right. We know your work. Get back to work, and we appreciate you listening too.
Yeah, love you guys. Have a great day.
Love you too. Fine. Whoa! Didn't expect that call this morning.
Dang.
Is there $1 million in this mason jar?
I wish.
Step your game up, Heidi.
I love there's an amount of people texting in saying just move it, play jokes on her, see how long it takes for her to finally mention something to you. Just keep
it's not
moving.
Not bad.
It.
You should. Jackie, thanks for holding. You got a story?
Oh, yeah. I got an even better story.
Oh, good Lord. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. This happened to my grandmother. My mom was born in 1939.
Okay.
Both my grandparents worked. My grandmother was putting money away so she could get a crib for my mom.
Okay.
Well, back then you're in the hospital for a while, right? So her sister-in-law went over to help at the house and clean. She went through the drawers of the dresser, and she found $300. And she's like, hey, look what your wife's been hiding. He goes to pick my grandmother up at the hospital with my mom in a brand new car.
Oh, no.
And my grandmother looks at him and is like, how the hell did you afford a new car? And he's like, you were hiding money from me. She was livid.
Wow.
Yeah, the money to buy
it. My mother had to sleep in an orange crepe.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Ryan is a car.
Spend that money, dude. You spend the money. Don't drill it.
Unreal. Jackie, thank you for sharing that call. You have a good morning, okay?
You too. Bye.
Bye. I don't know if you should move it or even acknowledge it exists now. I'm
yeah, I don't know if there's
karma,
enough money
dude.
For a car in there, but.
I don't know. Hey, don't say anything. Everyone's saying that one. Yeah, you're right. Just hide it.
Just mess with her.
Move it around. Devo. How are you, Devo?
Spectacular.
So, you got some advice for the young man?
Well, listen, Ryan, first of all, needs to learn to pick and choose his battles.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I don't think a mason jar with, $5 in it is the battle to pick. You know, it's not like he found King Tut's tomb or something.
You don't know, the Holy Grail could be in there. I just haven't seen it yet.
A little tiny one? Yeah.
The
Holy Grail
stuff
right in there. Yeah. All right, so that's your advice for him, pick his battles?
Yeah, man. That life's too short.
Okay.
Right on. No, thanks, Devo.
Absolutely.
Right.
No, well played, man.
Be smooth.
Bye.
See you, bud.
So since it's a mason jar, if you open it, does it sound like Mason from the Pistons game? How much money's in it?
Yeah.
In the mason jar, $347.
Give me a $20.
There you go. There it is. You do realize he's right next door at our sister station. Yeah. I'm waiting for John to come burst through the door going, don't. Stay in your lane, Jim. Okay. Hi, Kim. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Grounds for Divorce.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
So you got a story? Go ahead.
Yeah, here's a good one. My mom had a relative, a cousin, who was raised like old-fashioned. Remember when people used to stash money in the mattress because they didn't trust the bank?
I had a roommate that did that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was raised that way, so he got married, and they were married almost 20 years. This is what my mom tells me. He didn't tell his wife in the basement there was a brick in the wall of their basement that he stashed like a few $1,000s in the span of 20 years, and he didn't tell her, but eventually he did because they were married almost 40 years. They're both gone now, but he never told his wife for the longest time
that there was
a
married brick.
Wow. Yeah, a brick in the wall, and he would stash his money, hide it in there from her.
How was it being around David Gilmour? Anyway, that was a Pink Floyd reference. Never mind. Anyway, thank you, Kim. Have a good morning.
All right. You guys, too. Bye. Bye.
You never know when things are going to go south, and you need to take off with that.
What do you think? She's going down to Mexico to work on a boat with...
I'm just saying.
With Tim Robbins? Like Shawshanking?
I got a lot. Hey, I had a guy tell me one time, get a really expensive watch and wear it, because if you ever need money, you got it on your wrist. So maybe she's stocking away in case things go south.
We love you two as a couple, but listening to the show, are you surprised? I'm kidding. That's for divorce this morning. If you're just joining us. Yesterday, you found a mason jar in the closet. What was in it?
A bunch of money.
You don't remember this. So this is Heidi's mason jar.
Yeah, I've never seen it before.
All right, well, Heidi has texted Ryan. We'll get to that in a bit. But you were actually going to go confront her with it or ask her.
Where did this thing come from?
Good idea. A lot of people say just move it around the house.
Just keep messing with her.
See if she acknowledges that. So we had a lady call up earlier that her friend of theirs, and there was too many details for that to be a fake story.
Right.
Close to $1 million in a piano.
Gosh.
People are finding money everywhere. Mike, thanks so much for holding. Welcome into Big Jim's house. Go ahead.
How are you today? I was just the story related to what you guys are talking about. I was on a job, and this older fella was a construction type guy, and he built two boxes, or he built a storage unit in his closet in his bathroom, and I found two safes. One had 700, one had 1400, and there was a note inside. There was a note inside to my wife that was his casino winnings, but unfortunately, him or his wife never got the money because he passed on, and I can't say what happened to the other money I gave it. I gave it to my boss, but I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Wow. Still though. Wow.
But it was pictures of their family, and this was to my wife. I went at the casinos.
Wow. Debbie. Man, yeah. Mike, thank you so much.
Okay. That'll probably be you guys. Have a good day.
You too. Bye. Debbie on hold here. That's mixing names.
That's great. That's sad that she never saw it.
I don't know that my dad told my mom when he won money at the horse track. I don't think he did sometimes, but he would spend it on her. So my dad one time would, you box something where like if you bet four to win and three to place, he'd box it and flip it. I was a kid with him at the horse track and he hit for a couple grand. Because the IRS, you go off the little room with the IRS people and stuff. But I don't think he ever told her about it, but he would take her on trips and stuff. He'd use that money and splurge it on her.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Debbie, I mentioned her name here. Debbie, go ahead.
Hi. I don't have a story, but I do have a suggestion.
Yeah.
Because of Ryan's sense of humor, and I would assume his wife has the same type of sense of humor since she married him, but I would suggest that he tell her that he came across the cleaning out the closet, and if this is for a big vacation, he would start contributing as well. Or, because of his humor, he can say, is this your getaway money when you figure out it's not going to work?
Nice. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Who is he?
So, hey, Debbie, somebody texted in and said, why don't you use that money and go buy a bunch of Stone Soup tickets?
Oh, there you go.
See? There you go. All right. No, I like you. The great call. Debbie, have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Heidi texted you. She's working right now, but she's still kind of catching the show.
Yeah, I thought she was too busy today to listen.
So this mason jar that has been hiding in the closet, that Heidi's been keeping this money away from you, and you're going to bring it home today and confront her about it. What are you doing hiding money?
She texted me and said, "Hey, I'm listening, dumbass. LOL, all of it is spare change that you leave around the house or pant pockets from the dumb pretzels and breakfast burritos you buy at work every day. This has been going on for 5 years." So that's my money. I get the jar.
The hell you do. Let's go to line two.
Damn it, Trump. You're a damn genius.
Oh, man. This is a lesson. She lights me up because, say, I give somebody like a 20 and I get change back and there's like four or five ones in it. I'll just put them in the center console. Go out into the center console of my car right now. There's probably $40 and $1 bills in there.
Damn it, Trump. You're a damn genius.
Dang, so she's been taking it and saving it. Wow.
No, she's been saving it because you're leaving it all over the house.
Thank you for putting together my money for me. Love you.
Damn it, Trump. You're a damn genius.
That's my money now, right?
That's her money.
Nah.
Yeah, you don't get a dime of that. Heidi, don't give him a dime.
That would explain why there's Canadian money in there from when me and you went and saw Cheap Trick 5 years ago or 4 years ago.
Around the house that I put up in there.
Yeah, it's like 5-6 years of collecting my change, which is cool because she's just been saving my money for me, so I appreciate that.
Nope.
Damn it, Trump! You're a damn genius!
Yeah. It's actually kind of making me angry at myself. All that money's been in my pockets? I'm coin starring that stuff as soon as we leave here today.
No, it's her money. You don't even touch.
No.
That's how
she'll
you start.
She'll get a cut for keeping
someone
it protected.
Someone text it in. Start your 529. That is your college fund for your boy.
What's a... Okay. I didn't know.
Don't say what's a... Yeah, that's the college fund thing. Trust me.
We'll
a long
see.
One.
Give him a few years before we see if he's good enough for that.
Wow. Hey, Tracy. Thanks for holding. Now, your family found what?
Our grandmother just passed away a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
She was 100 years old, and she's lived in her house forever, obviously. And she told her kids before she passed to make sure they check everywhere in the house. And they found, just going through her things, in one day, over $40,000.
What?
Oh.
Wow. $40,000. So now... How many kids are going to split this up?
That was the first day that we started looking.
So you think there's more in there?
I think there may be. I don't know.
Wow.
But, yeah, there's a couple of kids. So.
That's, wow, the 40 grand in one day.
Wow. Well, Tracy, you said it does sound like the grandma was a hell of a woman.
Absolutely.
100 years old, amazing woman.
She was a very special lady.
Well, you hang in there. Have a good day. We appreciate you sharing the story.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow.
Kathy's dad lives in Coney Lake, Pennsylvania, and he does Cub Cadets. He has like 30 of them. That's his hobby. He's a retired school teacher. So people will come by and drop off Cub Cadets going, "I don't want to do it. You want to fix it up?" He'll fix up stuff. He'll do, I've told you, snow blowers, leaf blowers, anything.
Yeah.
He can fix them. And then he puts them out. This is how small town it is. He puts them out by the side of the road. And he puts he doesn't even put for sale on him. And then people just drive up the driveway and go, "Hey, Dio, I saw that tiller out there. 500? Yeah.
Cool."
And it's put away now, folks. So don't drive to Coney Lake, Pennsylvania looking for a box full of cash because it's already been put in the bank. We walk out in the garage. He goes, "Yeah." And he was telling me how he's really having fun. He's been doing this for years, but it's been picking up.
Right.
He opens up this box. It's just full of cash. I'm like, "What are you doing with that?" He goes, I don't know. I'm 87, you know. he's like, don't tell mom. I'm like, "What are you going to do with it?" He goes, "Nothing."
Right.
I don't know what to do with it. They hand me the money and I just throw it in the box. I'm like, "Good Lord." Yeah. He has no idea how much. It's a lot, by the way.
Gee, if things are selling for that much.
Yeah. Forgot about that. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We are wonderful. You got a story about us? A money story? Go ahead.
I certainly do. Several years ago, I had a contractor at the house, and I just cut him a check when it was done. He looked at me and said, "I don't take checks." So I called the wife at work and said, "Hey, stop at the bank, pick up some coins. You guys take checks." She says, "Go upstairs, and into the closet, there's this white tube sock. Take it out, take money out of there." I went and saw him in the shot. It was a lot of 50s and 100s, and they would have choked a horse, a large horse.
So you didn't know this money existed?
I had no idea. So I called her up at work afterwards. I said, where'd this come from? Her response was, I was saving. So, Ryan, leave the money alone. Walk away. You don't know it exists.
There okay. you go. There
yes,
you go.
Sir.
Well played. Hey, John, appreciate you being with us in the morning, man. Have a good day.
Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
Wow.
All right. We got a text real quick. My grandmother put money in her old phone book. We found $20 on every page of it. Lots of money. Just a 20 in every page of the phone book. Wow.
Are we all just a bunch of hoarders here in Detroit? Is that what it is?
This makes me upset at my grandparents and stuff. Where the hell is all the money?
Heidi's got it. You just don't know. I'll eat eight. Round four. Keyword Coney. Closest battle right now would be
Jerry's Coney and Angelo's Coney Island. And right now there's 2%.
That's it?
Between them. I don't know who's got who, but okay. I know it's that close.
It's that close. We mentioned Jerry's and Angelo's as well, but both places. And we're seeing it time and time again. The places that are advancing in this Coney dog fight are actually really using the Facebook stuff. They share it and then they're getting people to vote. Now you vote. Once per round.
Yes.
This round ends tomorrow night, 11:59 p.m.
Correct.
Right. Right. Not midnight, because that would be Saturday. Once per round, everybody will throw your name into a virtual hat. The winner, when we pull that name, gets an autographed Alice Cooper Court street sign. And just as important, a $15,000 marketing campaign created by WCSX will go to the winning restaurant. The
Huge.
Winning Coney.
Huge.
So we got Leo's and National are in there, right?
Yeah, Leo's National. They're up against each other. American versus George's. And then Lafayette and Olympia. Coney Island. National and Leo's is funny because it's like a local chain battle.
Yeah.
Right now.
I'm so conflicted because I love both of them. I really do.
I don't think I've ever been to a National Coney Island.
You ever had a Coney?
Yeah.
At a smaller joint? About half of them in Detroit use National Coney.
National.
Seriously.
Oh, really? They're chill. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember
okay.
when James Rigotto opened up Doug's Delights over in Hazel Park, the hot dog stand. He tried to make his own Coney chili, and he talked about it. He goes, I can't make it as good as they do.
Wow.
And I'm not lobbying for National. I'm just saying.
Right.
You'll notice it. It's pretty damn good.
Huh.
But then here's the problem with Kirby's. I think their hot dogs are better.
Wait,
got more snap to them.
With Leo's, you mean?
Leo's. I'm sorry, yeah. Leo's. I said Kirby's. Leo's. Leo's has a better dog.
They got a little bit.
National. National has better chili.
Ooh, in my opinion. What's more important? When
I don't know.
What is more important when it comes to a Coney? The dog or the chili?
Ooh.
Oh, ha, ha. Start some fist fights.
I don't.
I got to say the dog is.
The snap.
You need that natural casing.
It's all about the snap. Yeah. No. All right. Well, we made it almost 11 o'clock to having a real food topic this morning. Damn it. I don't know, though.
I don't know. Now I'm switching back to the chili.
Because our buddies at Red Hot
chili.
In Highland Park, when they closed, and now they're selling their Coney chili.
What are they selling?
The chili.
The dogs. The chili.
And wow. that stuff.
And you're right. You can get past it if the chili. You can get past a bad dog if the chili tastes good.
Yeah, but
but you can't get. How's the joke up? You can't get a dog unless you got a good chili.
What are you, the new Detroit comedian, Mr. 313? Is that who you are now? This new wacky comedian in Detroit. Keyword Coney. If you want to vote, dude, I don't know. All right. There's only one way to resolve this. We have to get one from all eight.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And a Diet Coke. I need a pop as well, because that balances it all out.
Right.
All right, Dina said it funny. How far do I have to go on the treadmill after I eat eight Coneys? You already laid that on me with the Punchkies this week. Don't forget golf.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.